So I'm moving off of the subject we've been on, this walk we've been taking towards Easter on the Via Dolorosa. And I just wanted to take a few minutes to talk about what's going on in our lives right now, the disruption, the fear, the panic, and to share some words of comfort and security for anyone listening. We, especially in this country, have come to have so much reliance on our political system and on our financial system, on our jobs, our sources of income, even our health system. And we're amazed and afraid when all of the things we rely on are put into question, when the institutions we rely on a daily basis are not able to support us in the ways we're accustomed to. And the abilities of all the things we've relied on, trusted in, are brought to nothing in the face of a microscopic thing like a virus, an enemy so small we can't see it with the naked eye, very foreign looking when we see it under a microscope. This minute virus challenges everything that we believe in, except, if we think about it, our faith. Hard as it may be to accept or understand, God created this virus and allowed it to spread to man. So why did he choose to unleash it on humanity? What's so special about this time in the 2,000 years since Jesus went home that God decided that this would be a good time to unleash this virus? And it seems like a question we couldn't really answer. Well, yes and no. We know that God made us, created us and everything there is for one purpose, to glorify him. And how have we been doing there? By my estimation, not very well. We, as a race, are slipping towards more cockamamie religions and beliefs, atheism, agnosticism, beliefs that tend to recognize the greatness of man and refuse to recognize the sovereignty of God. And in the presence of scary changes to our normal rhythms, without that faith that God is in control, without the understanding of what our role is in all of this, we tend to replace faith with fear. You want to know why there's no toilet paper in the stores? I don't have to tell you. It's fear. But fear based on what? A knowledge? No. It turns out there's no shortage of toilet paper, except that which was created by panic buying. I can't imagine anyone sitting down and thinking through the situation and saying, well, I'm uncertain about the future, so I guess I'll buy huge amounts of toilet paper. No, it's a gut reaction. A gut reaction to the very things we've always put our trust in, seemingly letting us down all at once. A feeling that we've been abandoned by our support systems, instead of recognizing that God is the only reliable support system. Maybe if we'd hit our knees in prayer and turned the situation over to the Lord as our first response, he would have calmed our hearts and minds so that irrational fear couldn't take over. And maybe it doesn't seem fair that God would allow this situation. I'm sure that many of the people who are panicking are believers, and they're wondering, what did we do to deserve this? So I want to change course a little bit today and talk about what God has to say about all of this. Help us to focus our attention on the inevitable good news that will come from this seeming tragedy, because with God, there's always good news. You might assume that I'm going to take you to the New Testament now and talk about Jesus freeing us from death and how that could free us from fear, and I will get there in a bit. But first, let's look at what's in the nature of God as exemplified in the Old Testament. If you have your Bibles handy, turn to Isaiah 35, verse 4. It simply says, say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. When you study the book of Isaiah, you learn that the first 40 verses are predominantly about the condemnation of Israel. After verse 40, we start to see the solution, We start to hear about the coming Messiah and how he will rescue Israel from itself. But here in verse 35, we see salvation in the midst of condemnation. Look down at verses 5 through 7. It says, we read, he will come and save you. Starting in verse 5, it says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Out of this tragedy, out of this time of lack of faith, out of this time of reverence for the institutions we trust over the reverence for the Lord, will come revival, will come salvation, will come the very worship and praise that God deserves and the blessings God has promised us. Flip over a few pages to Isaiah 43. Let me read to you verses 1 through 3. But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. We can choose to go through the waters or through the fire with fear or with confidence. We can choose to focus on our disappointment in our institutions and be disappointed because they never saw this coming, they weren't prepared. Or we can focus on the Lord and His answers for every situation that confronts us. During one of the infinite press conferences, a question was asked about why we, meaning they, the government and the healthcare system, weren't more prepared for this outbreak. And the answer was simply, we've never seen anything like this. Every virus is different. This is something completely new. We could not have anticipated this nor prepared for it. How can you be ready for something to impact your life that you weren't prepared for? But isn't that what happens to us time after time throughout our lives? Our lives being impacted by situations we weren't prepared for, financial problems, health problems, family problems. Coronavirus is actually a misnomer. There are a group of coronaviruses. MERS and SARS are in this group. And each of these caught us by surprise as well. This one is definitely more contagious and more lethal. But God is letting us know that He's never caught by surprise. His abilities are never overwhelmed as we fear our healthcare system will be. His ability to provide is never overwhelmed by pandemic or panic. I want to look for a minute at the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 9. Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Lord isn't restricted by where we are or what we're going through. It doesn't matter if we're in a country that's overwhelmed by trials or in a safe place. It doesn't matter the magnitude of the trials we face. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Turning now to Deuteronomy 31:8, and I apologize, I got you jumping all over your Bible today. Now I take that back. I don't apologize. This is good exercise, a great way to be spending our time in God's Word. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, and the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Confidence in Him wherever we are. And notice these statements are made almost more of a command than a suggestion. It doesn't say you might consider having confidence in the Lord first. It says, do not fear. Don't even go there. In this verse, the Lord is talking to Moses in a very difficult situation. but he's also talking to us in any situation. He said he would redeem us. He says he will protect us and carry us through. But as usual, there's a part of this that's our responsibility. We have to believe. We have to trust. We have to accept the redemption that is ours for the taking. So, are we expected not to have any fear? Of course not. A couple weeks ago, we were studying as we prepared for Easter, and we saw Jesus in the garden sweating blood, literally sweating blood, as he contemplated his arrest and trial and humiliation and torture and death. He certainly had something to be afraid of, and he was afraid. A certain amount of fear is okay, but fear that leads us to action. Just because he was afraid, Jesus didn't stop where he was and go hide. He went through with the Father's plan. A little fear of this virus will keep us from putting ourselves in dangerous situations if we can avoid it. It causes us to exercise caution. The fear that kills is the kind that stops you from doing the things you need to do, paralyzing fear. So I mentioned the New Testament. Let's turn there now to the book of Hebrews and chapter 4. Hebrews 4, starting in verse 14. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Let us hold fast our confession. In other words, we shouldn't allow this pandemic or anything else to either shake our faith or allow us to hold back on sharing our faith and letting the world know that our faith sustains us. When someone asks, "Doesn't this terrible tragedy shake your faith?" the only appropriate answer is just the opposite. It confirms my faith because it proves that none of the earthly things that I put faith in are able to stand in the storm. God alone can stand in the storm. No matter how strong the winds blow, no matter how many of our earthly supports are taken away, we can always trust in him. We have a high priest who has been through the storm. God allowed himself in the form of his son to weather worse torture and punishment than most of us can imagine. And yet he held firm for us. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Where else can you go when all else fails? As for me and my house, we turn to the Lord. And one more subject I want to raise, and it is this. The bills for running the church continue, the rent, the utilities, the taxes, and even the pastor's paycheck. Whether you attend our church or another church, let this be a reminder that your church still needs your support. I believe that God uses every situation to give his people a conduit to him. I believe that this pandemic offers an opportunity for us to draw closer to him and to give him more praise than ever. After all, if we have to stay home, isn't that more time available to break out our Bibles and study God's word? Doesn't it give us more opportunity to be in prayer, to spend quality time with the Lord? And for those that don't know him, don't know Jesus as Savior and Lord, doesn't this time prove to you that you can't put all your trust in human institutions? That the only place you can safely put your trust is in the God who created you and in his Son who came to pay the price for your sins? So virus or not, it'll be Easter in a few weeks. What better time to consider your relationship with the one who can stand in the storm, and who offers the protection of his loving arms so that we don't have to be afraid. So let me give you a couple of verses to comfort you and see you through this time of trouble. And first, turning to the Psalms, Psalm 91, starting in verse 1. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. And finally, this blessing on you from 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 16 and 17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Pray with me, will you? Father God, we recognize your sovereignty. We recognize that you're in charge, and we recognize that we never do a good enough job of simply coming to you in worship and praise and thanking you for all you are and all you've done for us, all you've given us. We are so richly blessed. And Lord, we thank you for that now. And Lord, I just ask your peace on those that are listening right now. Peace in the time when so many are panicking and so many are fearful. And yet we can come and be under your wings, comforted by you in the storm. Give us that peace today, and may we share it with others. In Jesus' name, amen.